بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكذلك مكنا ليوسف في الأرض ولنعلمه من تأويل الأحاديث. In our last scene, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described to us that how the Aziz, the finance minister of Egypt, brought this royal slave into his palace. And he asked his wife Zulaykha to attend to his needs and not to treat him as a common slave, but to treat him with honor and to entertain him well while he lived in the palace. Allah then ended the scene by saying, وَكَذَلِكَ, and this is how we established Yusuf in the land. We gave him this place of establishment. From the pit of the well, we brought him into the palace of Egypt. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, and so that we may teach Yusuf alayhi salam the true meanings of events. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, and Allah opens our eyes to something that we should consider throughout the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and also within our personal lives and our personal situations, our personal problems and difficulties. Sometimes we forget who is really in control of the situation. And we feel at times that we are in control of the situation. Or sometimes we hand over the problem or the matter to a third person and we have confidence. And we feel that that person is now in control of the situation. My matter, my affair, my case is in the hand of a reliable person, a person of great authority, of strength, of power. And we then put our belief and our faith and our reliance on such a person. Allah says, Wallahu ghalibun ala amri. Allah is in control of every affair. Allah says, look at this. Who is in control? Who has allowed this to happen? Who allowed Yusuf alayhi salam to be lowered into the depth of the pit? Who allowed that caravan and directed that caravan in this direction? Who allowed Yusuf alayhi salam to be purchased by the Aziz, the minister of Egypt? And who is that who has allowed Yusuf alayhi salam to come into the royal family and this royal home, the palace of Egypt? Allah says, Wallahu ghalibun ala amrih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of every affair. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but most of the people do not understand this reality. They do not understand this. We fail to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. And that is why we do not turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very so often we turn to different avenues and we look at different solutions, but we fail to turn to Allah azza wa jal, who is in control of every affair of ours. Yusuf alayhi salam spends a lengthy period of time in the palace of the Minister of Finance. And he is approximately 12, according to some historical narrations. He is about 14 years old when he comes into the palace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ. Allah takes us now many years ahead in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah says, and when he, that is Yusuf alayhi salam, when he reached at the prime of his age, that is 40 years old, he is now a 40-year-old man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now he reaches the prime of his age. That is an age of maturity. That is when a person has fully matured. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at this point, أَعْتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. Allah says, we gave him wisdom and we gave him knowledge, referring to this great bounty of nubuwah. Allah says, now at this age, we had blessed him with prophethood and we had declared to him that he is a Nabi of Allah, a prophet of Allah azza wa jal. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah says, this is how we reward those who are constantly in good deeds. What do we learn from this? that you may be going through a difficult situation in your life, you may be going through a difficult patch in your life, do not give up your good deeds. Do not give up your good deeds. Do not leave those good deeds. Do not turn away from those good deeds. In fact, you should increase in the fulfilling and the performance of good deeds, and look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and that is how exactly, this is how we will reward, we will give honor, give dignity, give relief, and remove the distress and anxiety of those who remained in good deeds, who expressed and who displayed their loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout that entire journey. Let us move on to a next scene, which is scene number 8. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَن نَفْسِهِ. Allah says, and she in whose house he was sought to seduce him. Zulaykha, the wife of Qitfir, she fell in love with Yusuf alayhi salam. And her love for him was genuine, true love. Allah even describes it as love. And it was a unique type of love. So this love that she had for Yusuf alayhi salam drove her to try and seduce him into committing an act of zina. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the scene you have the wife of Zulaykha, and she invites Yusuf alayhi salam into the home. And previously when Allah spoke of the wife of the Aziz, Allah referred to her as the wife of the Aziz. But over here, Allah did not say the wife of the Aziz tried to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. What does Allah say? Allah says the one in whose house he was. To show how complicated the issue was. It was not a simple issue. It was not easy for him to refuse this temptation. It was not easy for him to deny her. Why? Because he was living in her home. She was providing that protection. She was providing that care. So it makes it so much more complicated now. Here she comes, this woman who has been caring him and serving him and looking after him for so many years, plus minus 20 years. And now she makes this advance towards him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, she tries to seduce him. What does she do? وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. Allah says, it was premeditated. This didn't just happen spontaneously. She had it all planned. She had it all worked out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She bolted the doors. All the doors of the palace. There were 7 doors, according to the Mufassirin, that led to that area where the two of them were. All 7 doors, she bolted them. She locked them up to ensure that she was alone with Yusuf alayhi salam in the palace. So she created this suitable environment. The environment had to be conducive. She created this environment of temptation, of seduction. And sometimes we might find ourselves in that sort of an environment, the company with whom we are, the friends in whose company we may be. And there is this environment trying to seduce us, tempt us to slip, to fall, to be invited to breaking the commandment of Allah. Mufassirin explained, she adorned herself, she beautified herself, of course, again, following historical narrations, that she beautified herself. Everything was made conducive for the fulfillment of that crime and to lure Yusuf alayhi salam, a young man of 40 years old, into falling into the sin. After she was in seclusion with Yusuf alayhi salam and she presented herself before him in all her beauty and dressed absolutely seductively, what does she say? قَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. She addresses Yusuf alayhi salam and she says, هَيْتَ, هَيْتَ لَكْ. هَيْتَ is an expression filled with seduction. If one, you know, in you cannot find an expression that is filled with more seduction in it. It's a very seductive way of inviting a person towards oneself. And that's the expression she uses. She says, hey Talak, Yusuf, come on over here. Come to me. What does Yusuf alayhi salam do? Subhanallah. Imagine this young man, a Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he finds himself in this situation. She's there, she's in his face. Sometimes you go to the office or you go to university, she's there, she's in your face. She's tempting you. She wants you to fall into that crime, into that sin. What does he do? A great lesson for us immediately is, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. He turns to Allah. What can I do? I'm left powerless, helpless. This is my boss in front of me. And here she is in all her beauty. And the doors are locked. I'm alone with her. I am the slave. What will people say? What case do I have against her? So immediately he turns to Allah. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. May Allah save me. Brothers, the strongest defense against sin is to seek protection from Allah. When you are tempted and you want to commit that sin, the invitation is there. There's an invitation, there's an invite. Wherever you may be, in whichever form it may come to you, the greatest protection against any form of sin is to seek the assistance of Allah. Do not rely on your own willpower or your own resolution or your own inner feelings. That no, I can handle this, I can control it. Turn to Allah. Allah will help you. Seek assistance and protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dua that Rasulullah s.a.w. has taught us to make, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Oh Allah, I do not have the strength to do good. And I do not have the strength to stay away from evil except through you. So that's the very first thing he did. He turned to Allah. Allah, only you can help me. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. And he's reminding her of Allah. Reminding her of the God, whichever God she worships. But she doesn't back down. Again, we spoke about on the occasion when those brothers took Yusuf alayhi salam and they lowered him into the well and they came back to their father. What did their father say? It was your nafs, that inner self, that carnal desire, that had overpowered your aql. We spoke last week about the nafs and the aql, the inner self and the intellect. If you do not apply your intellect in this type of a situation, the nafs will override, the nafs will overpower the intellect. And once the nafs takes charge, then you will not matter what situation you find yourself in. Who comes to know of the sin? Who comes to know of the crime? Who comes to know of that act of disobedience? No matter who this person may be, whether she is a married woman, whether she's a single woman, whose daughter she may be, you're not using your mind, you're not using your intellect. Who may get hurt? Who may suffer? The nafs has kicked in. That is what's happening, the nafs. And that's what he reminds her of Allah, but that nafs has now taken charge. She's got no control. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, your nafs is like a wild horse, like an untrained horse. If you do not train it, you do not culture it, what's it going to do? It's going to take you in whichever direction it feels like moving. But if you culture the nafs, you train the nafs, you subdue the nafs, then you are in charge of the nafs. You will steer that wild horse. You will steer that trained and cultured nafs in the direction you want it to go. So her nafs has kicked in. She cannot apply her mind. She's not using her mind. She's not using her intellect. So then he reminds her of her husband. Fine. If you are not concerned of your loyalty to your God, إِنَّهُ Rabbi, your husband is my master, Zulaykha. Your husband, he's my Rabb. Your Rabb refers to the master. He's the master. He's my master. إِنَّهُ Rabbi ahsana mathwai. He made my stay agreeable. How can I betray his loyalty? How can I betray my master when he has given me such a fantastic time? I'm living in such a comfortable and enjoyable life. He has made my stay here so agreeable, so enjoyable. How can I even think of violating his honor? And he's reminding her of something and trying to draw her attention to something that, oh Zulaykha, if I cannot betray the loyalty that I owe to my master, and I am the slave, how can you as his wife, who has been wedded to him for so many more years than I know him, how can you as his wife betray that loyalty of your master? He's trying to draw her attention to that. She still doesn't back down. The nafs is in control. The nafs is in charge, her carnal self, her carnal desires. She still doesn't back down. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. And indeed, she did desire him. Allah says she had a strong desire for him. That love that she had for him. حُبُّكَ الشَّيْءِ يُعْمِي وَيُصِمْ. In Arabic, the proverb, that when you fall in love with something, it makes you deaf, it makes you blind. Deaf and blind. So that is what happened to her. Allah says she desired him. She was not going to back down. She had one thing on her mind and she wanted that to be fulfilled. You see, your nafs, when it takes charge, it will only rest and feel satisfaction when its desire is fulfilled. So it will take you and take you, follow her, go after her, do what it is. Until that is not fulfilled, it's not going to leave you in peace. That is when you allow the nafs to come. So that's what's happening over here. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. Allah says, indeed she did desire him, and he would have inclined to her desire. Yusuf alayhi salam would have inclined to her desire had he not seen the evidence of his Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Yusuf alayhi salam had a hum in his heart. She had a strong desire for him, and he had a hum. What's hum? Hum is a passing thought, which a person is not taken to account for. To cite an example, you are fasting in the month of Ramadan, and just a thought passes your mind that, I wish I could just have a cool drink right now, or I wish I could bite into a big double cheeseburger. It's just a passing thought, right? Even if that burger was right in front of you, or that cool drink was in front of you, you would never have touched it. That we refer to as hum, a passing thought. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Rasulullah makes it clearly, categorically, say in the hadith, Allah will not take you to account for that passing thought that comes to your mind. So Allah says, Yusuf experienced a hum. It was a passing thought. He would have inclined to her desire had he not seen, Allah says, had he not seen on that occasion when he was in this situation, Allah showed him a burhan. What is burhan? Allah showed him an evidence. Allah showed him a proof. Allah showed him something that caused that hum, that passing thought, to even leave his mind. What was that burhan? What did he see on that occasion? What was it? So, Mufassireen have given different interpretations. One interpretation is that the face of his father, Yaqub alayhi salam, miraculously appeared before him, and Allah allowed this to happen. It was a vision that he had on that occasion, and Yaqub alayhi salam placed his hand on the chest of his son Yusuf, that, oh Yusuf, do not advance towards her. That's one interpretation. That was the burhan. That is what he saw. The second interpretation is that the face of the Aziz, his master, Qitfir, his face appeared in a vision before him, and that was the burhan that he saw. The third interpretation was that Yusuf alayhi salam was looking for a way out. He's looking in every direction, and he looked towards the ceiling, and upon the ceiling Allah had allowed a verse of the Quran, or well, a verse which now does appear in the Quran. Allah allowed that verse to appear on the ceiling. La taqrabu zina. Do not go close to zina. Innahu kana fahisha. It is a fahisha. It is an act of lewdness. It is an act of shamelessness. Wasa'a sabila. It is the worst path that you can ever take, the path of zina. Brothers, when a man engages in zina, falls into adultery, falls into fornication, the very first thing that person will lose and that Allah will take away from your life is that sukoon. What is sukoon? You know, in Urdu we say that chain, the chain of the heart, sukoon adil. That peace in your heart, that contentment of your heart, that rest that Allah has kept in your heart, Allah takes that away. Why? You see, there are three main sources of sukoon in this world. Three sources where you can find the sukoon. Find this contentment, this peace of heart and contentment of the mind. The first source is, it comes from Allah. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ سَكِينَتَهُ. Allah says, Allah is the one who allows sakina, that tranquility, that peace that you and I and so many of us are desperately seeking out there. Peace of mind, contentment of the heart. Allah is the one who places it into the heart. When you engage in adultery, and you engage in zina, and you engage in fornication, and you give in to the temptations of the nafs, and you fall in love with that woman, Allah, you have severed your relationship with Allah, so that source of sukoon no longer exists. A second source of sukoon, we spoke about it, Allah says about your wife, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Your second source of sukoon in this world, wherein Allah has kept comfort for you, Allah has kept peace for you, Allah has kept tranquility for you, Allah says is your wife. Now by engaging in adultery, engaging in zina, by engaging in an extramarital relationship, what are you doing? You have now severed that relationship with your wife. Your second source of sukoon is taken away. Your second source of peace and comfort is taken away. You lost your second source now. The third source, what is the third source of sukoon? What is the third source of peace? Where do you come from, that comfort? رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ Your children. Great source of comfort. Great source of sukoon comes from where? From your children. Sometimes you have a long day at work. You come home, your mind is perturbed. And you see your child, you see your son, your daughter, they walk up to you. It brings such amazing peace and tranquility to the heart. Now when you engage in that act of zina and adultery, that extramarital relationship, you have lost that. You have lost your children as well. Your children come to know of it. Your family members come to know of it. What are you left with? It's sad, brothers. It's a sin that today so many, when we hear the marital cases, so many of our Muslim men are involved in this sin, in this crime, in this adultery. And when you look at their lives, there's no sukoon, no peace. Ask them, where's the sukoon? At what? For what? It's at nafs. That nafs came into play. It has taken over my aql, taken over my mind. Come back to that aql. Bring that aql back into your life. Use, apply your mind, apply your senses. Don't give in to that demand of the nafs. Where and where it will take you, Allah knows. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is a burhan. And then we ask ourselves, why? Why are the waves of the ocean rising over us? Why are we experiencing mini tsunamis? Why are we experiencing, just this morning I was seated somewhere and there were some youngsters also there. They were seated there and Allah, Muslim youngsters on the day of Jumu'ah, brothers, you know, I don't like to speak of this. It's not good to make the sins of the Muslims known, but it is a reality that we need to face. And they are discussing what drugs they're going to use this weekend. Young Muslim youngsters, on the day of Jumu'ah, then we ask, when a little tsunami comes and the waves of the ocean are rising over us, then we're asking, where is this coming from? It is coming from our very deeds. You are not only taking sukoon away out of your life and out of the life of your family by engaging in these acts of evil, but you are taking sukoon away from everyone else. The entire Muslim community will suffer as a result of that evil and that vice that you are engaged in. كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this we did. What is that? We showed Yusuf a burhan. And you, when you are engaged in that sin, Allah will show you a burhan. Don't expect the face of Yaqub alayhi salam to come before you. Don't expect that. Allah will show you a burhan. Allah will show you in your life how your children will revolt against you. Your wife will revolt against you. Your parents will revolt against you. People of the community, that's a burhan. Allah is showing evidence upon evidence upon evidence. Let go of that nafs. Let go of that nafs. How much more must I show you to make you realize that you are not treading the right path? You are treading the path to destruction. What about qabr, brothers? What about qabr? Fine, if I'm not concerned about everyone else's feelings, what my parents feel about my habit, or what my friends say, or what my wife thinks, or what my children... What about the qabr when you are going to be lowered in the grave? What guarantee do you have that you are going to live for the next day? What's going to happen over there? You are going to be lowered into the qabr and your eyes will open into the qabr. Then what do we do in that type of a situation? At least that fear should be with me. That consciousness of akhirah, of qabr, the day when I will leave from this world, That crime will prevent you from uttering the kalima at the time of death. Is that what I want? Allah says, and this we did. We showed Yusuf the Burhan on that occasion to turn away from him evil and lewdness. وَكَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَى إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ Allah says, surely he was one of our chosen and guided slaves. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ